Leadership File on Premier.
So welcome to The Leadership File, your weekly show inspiring you to lead for Christ wherever you are. I'm Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for joining us. And whether you're listening live or are one of the many thousands who listen via the podcast, it's great to have you along. If you're new to the show, a reminder, the show is available on demand via premierradio.com or via iTunes or Podbean. My aim with the shows is to provide knowledge, skills and attitudes for a Christian to lead so that God's work is advanced. So do continue to join us, and God helping us, we will flourish in his ways. So to this week, communication has been an occasional theme on the Leadership File, but we've never looked at the challenge of using humour in communication. So who better to talk with than someone who makes a living out of making people laugh? His name is Andy Kind, and since starting out in 2005, he's clocked up almost 2,000 gigs, won awards and acclaim, hosted his own radio show, appeared on TV, and written three books, Stand Up and Deliver, The Gig Delusion, and The Unfortunate Adventures of Tom Hillingthwaite. He's worked at all the major Christian festivals in the UK. He's been on Five Live, Premier, various local radio stations, and featured on BBC One, Channel 4, and ITV. You can learn more of his story on the Premier Profile Archive, May 2018, where he also shares about a call to preach, as well as working in stand-up. His current comedy tour is called Hidden in Plain Sight. So, Andy, lovely to have you on the Leadership File.
Nice to be with you.
So your journey to faith, first of all?
Yeah, so raised in a Christian household, mum and dad, first generation Christians, and I grew up believing in God. I was never an atheist, but I was also raised in quite a, I suppose, a fairly parochial area, and so the lack of vibrant churches, what I would now call sort of charismatic evangelical churches, that there weren't really any of those in evidence. So I went to a sleepy Anglican church until I decided I'd rather play football on a Sunday morning. And then went to university. I went to Warwick University to study modern languages and just got swept away with the cultural tide. I didn't have any Christian friends until I was 24, so I didn't really have anyone to follow the model of or to be discipled by, and so I just very easily became just any random student, the stereotypical student at university. And then after university, I realized that the sort of hedonistic path, I wouldn't have called it hedonism then, but the path I'd decided to go on was vacuous and inane and just wasn't really bringing life. So I went back to the old sleepy Anglican church in Newcastle-under-Lyme, sat at the back and sort of announced myself to God, asked him what happened next, and he went on to show me what happened next. So yes, it was I didn't have a dramatic voice in the clouds moment. It was an awareness of what I needed to do, really, and the fact I needed God in my life, and the journey with Him has been as slow as the journey towards Him.
Right. Okay. Well, that's lovely to hear. Bless you. And when did you find you could make people laugh, Andy?
I remember being in my first year of high school and saying that I wanted to be like Rowan Atkinson. So I think I always wanted to be a comedian. I was off school when I was 7 or 8, maybe a bit younger, and I watched all my dad's Fawlty Towers videos and Blackadder videos on loop, almost as though I was studying them in a weird way. And I think the moment I realized that I was funny was, there was a guy in our class called Morris Slack, and we had a lot of funny people in our class at school, and someone said to Morris, who's the funniest in our class? And he said, me. And I think at that point I realized I needed to step it up a little bit. So I would from that point on, I think I tried quite hard to make people laugh and to impress people.
And when did you start taking comedy seriously, so to speak?
I think when I left university and I started working in your standard graduate jobs and realized that they weren't fun, that I didn't really care that much about making loads of money when there wasn't any job satisfaction. And when I was writing comedy sketches during my during my working hours, I think I realized that there was an itch there that needed to be scratched.
Yeah.
And I was still, I was young, I was 23, 24. I thought, well, I'll give it a go. I haven't lost anything, and it's better to try and fail and then get on with the rest of my life rather than to, you know, become a middle manager and do reasonably well and have that nagging regret and doubt that something could have been different. So, yeah, I worked for about a year in different graduate jobs and then just packed them in for the tedium that they were.
Oh, good for you. And you mentioned Rowan Atkinson, you presumably John Cleese and Fawlty Towers. Were these your heroes you sought to learn from or imitate? Were there other stand-up, more stand-up comics as well?
Well, they were. At the time, I would have called them heroes. Frank Skinner and Jasper Carrot in terms of stand-up.
Oh, yes.
They were definitely my heroes. So I think I would have a different view on sort of hero worship now, but certainly I tried to emulate them, and I was probably quite caustic as a 9-year-old because of watching Fawlty Towers and Blackadder. So, it was an interesting one, and I've got people that I admire now, but I don't think I would have any comedy heroes now. My heroes are much more people like John Kirby from Christians Against Poverty, people who are prepared to, you know, put themselves on the line for the gospel.
Now, I mean, many of those listening will have to give talks. Some will be sermons because they're church leaders. Others will be talks of supporters of their charity or interested parties. Now, it's not uncommon for speakers to inject humour at the start of their talk to help people relax. Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice do you give people when it comes to communication, particularly the use of humour?
Yes, I think that I would say it is really good to be humorous, because when you laugh with somebody, it becomes psychologically impossible to hate them, which is an interesting psychological fact. And I think when the mouth is open for laughter, it's possible to shove in a little bit of food for thought as well. So those are good things. But equally, not everybody is wired in the same way. And I would always say it's much more important to be interesting than it is to be amusing. I can watch a documentary for much longer than I can watch a stand-up comedy routine. And ultimately, although you want... I think where humour is really useful is it stops people getting bored. So I know when I'm preaching, for instance, that everybody's listening the whole way through because they're expecting another joke. And that means that the message is much easier to digest. But equally, I think authenticity is by far the most important thing. Authenticity and vulnerability. People want to see that it's the real you up there, and they want to be gripped. I think, you know, a speaker, whatever they're speaking on, should primarily captivate. And there are different ways to do that. You can do that with a vulnerability. You can do that with, authority. You can do that with knowledge and experience. You can do it with comedy, but the aim, comedy is not the destination. Comedy is the vehicle for getting to the destination, and the destination is, you know, making sure that the people who've been listening to you have actually heard.
And I mean, some folk will read or almost relate jokes as such, as opposed to being quotes humorous. Is that still worth doing? Telling people jokes.
I wouldn't want to denounce anybody who does that. But yeah. I think I would say that I don't think it's very effective. It kills a bit of time, and you might break the ice a little bit.
Mm.
But it probably isn't as useful as people would like to think it is, unless you're going to continue to be humorous and to inject jokes. I would say it probably is a bit of an anomaly. So, I don't think it's that useful. I think people just want to be gripped. And if if you grip them with a joke and then you become instantly boring, well, you haven't gripped them, you've tricked them.
Yes.
So, you know, 2 Corinthians says we do not use deception. So I think I would just encourage, well, totally understanding that people can make this work. I don't think the idea of starting with a joke is the best strategy, and I don't encourage people to start with a joke. I encourage people to be humorous if it's authentically who they are, if it comes organically out of of who they are. So telling a story about your own life, which is humorous and also self-deprecating, that's a really important thing to do, because it, you know, you can be very threatening, you can seem very threatening if you've got the mic and you've got the platform. So to be able to kind of turn the words on yourself, it relaxes people in the audience. But to tell a joke which is a third-party joke and has no relevance to your life or the rest of the talk, no, I think that's just a bit lazy.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. And of course, you're a preacher as well as a stand-up comic, and there can be a danger of being, quotes, the funny guy, when you actually need to sometimes communicate serious stuff.
Absolutely, and I think to critique myself for a while, I've been preaching for 3 years, and I'm primarily a preacher now. That's the thing that I do. I think the thing I do best, actually, but also the thing I want to do. As I look back on my first few preaches, I was probably a bit crass because I was transitioning from comedy to preaching, and with comedy, you're allowed to self-elevate. The point of being on stage as a comedian is to self-elevate. You are the star of the show, and people need to know who's in control. Whereas when you're preaching, it's actually self-denial. You know, the perfect preacher gets out of the way and lets God move. And obviously, you're the vessel for the message, but you are not the message. And sometimes when I've preached and I'm asking for a response to the gospel, I'll sometimes say, look, we're not asking you here to respond to the question, have you heard a good talk? But that's not the question. The question is, do you want to follow this Jesus that we've been speaking about? Not, were you surprised by how funny this Christian man was? That's not what it means to respond to the gospel. So, yes, I think I'm largely past the worry in my own mind of, will people just think am I just the funny guy? So I don't feel like a fraud anymore when I'm preaching. And because I don't think about it, I assume that other people don't think about it. But probably they do. Probably it takes the first 10 minutes to convince people that I actually do know what I'm doing. And I would certainly say that, you know, the skills I've learned from comedy have really accelerated me as a preacher.
Sure. Well, you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Andy Kind. Andy is a comedian and a preacher. We're talking about communication. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Andy Kind. Andy works as a stand-up comic. He's also a preacher. We saw in his introduction he's worked in pretty well all the major Christian festivals in the UK. And we're talking about the whole business of communicating to others and injecting humour appropriately. Because many of us Christians in leadership will need to communicate, and we don't want to be dull. So Andy's giving us some tips on that. Andy, you wrote about whether comedians are prophetic in Premier Christianity. Do you want to just sort of summarise your thinking on that? Because it seemed like an interesting and slightly kind of not odd, but you came at things at a different angle than most would.
Yeah. It's interesting that mentioning, I don't want to embarrass you, Andy, but none of the stuff that we're talking about now in terms of the preaching and the comedy, particularly as it relates to churches, would have been possible if you hadn't written an article on me in 2005. The only reason that I did venture into church gigs was because of the interest I got from your article back then. So I don't know if you remember that.
No, I do. I very much so. But it was you very, very kindly mentioned this at a conference once, and I was thrilled to be a small, you know, part of that. So that's lovely. So thank you.
But anyway. Yes, very much the catalyst.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So what was the question?
So it's about the prophetic, whether comedian... whether
oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I think I hate clichés, even if they are favourable clichés for me. So people say, comedy, you know, comedians are the new prophets. And I'm sorry, but that's almost invariably not the case. I know comedians, and I know that they're not either trying to be prophetic or claiming that they are either. Most comedians are yes men, and they are snake oil salesmen, and they will do anything to get a laugh. And I include myself in that. You know, when you're doing comedy, you're primarily there to entertain. You're not primarily there to educate or to convict. You are there to entertain, and if you carry on saying funny things, you'll get paid repeatedly. If you stop saying funny things, it doesn't matter how right on you are or how prophetic you are, you're not going to get the gigs. So it's a bit of a Hollywood idea that's crept in, I think, to that mindset. The idea that, comedians are so prophetic and they speak truth to power. No, they don't. Comedians ego groom the people in front of them, because you won't laugh at something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And so a comedian knows inherently and implicitly that they need to say things that the audience will agree with. And again, that's the inverse of preaching and the inverse of a lot of public speaking. You are there at the whim of the audience as a comedian, more than any other form of public speaking.
Sure. And obviously, you must have had moments where you're wondering, is this appropriate humour for a church setting? How do you discern what stays in and what gets ditched, perhaps?
Yes, great question. And I've been thinking a lot about discernment recently. I think that, you know, there is the spiritual gift of discernment. Mm. But I also think that discernment, in a more practical way, is simply wisdom based on experience. So I have a sort of second nature, or you might call it a sixth sense. It appears to be a sixth sense about who to talk to in the audience. And who not to talk to, and where to draw the line in terms of content. But it's not really a sixth sense at all. I mean, there is something supernatural going on because the Holy Spirit is up there with me. But mainly, I've just done it enough times to know the sort of person I won't talk to, the sort of person I will talk to, and I've made plenty of mistakes and tried to learn from them.
Sure. Now, you've written three books. How did those come about?
They came about because I wanted some merchandise. I was slightly opportunistic and cynical about it. I was doing gigs and getting decently paid, but actually I wanted to have something to leave with people when they left. And also I wanted to just raise the financial income a little bit.
Mm.
So I started writing a book. Stand Up and Deliver was the first one I wrote in 2010, and that got commissioned. And it was just about my first year in comedy. There'd been a lot of books released from famous comedians about how they became famous, and I wasn't and still am not famous. So I thought, I'll just write about my first year in comedy, because that's something that everybody can relate to, whether they've become famous or failed as a comedian. And it proved to be very successful. It sold every copy ever printed, and it did make me, more successful than I was before I wrote it. So then I wrote the Gig Delusion, which was the sequel to that, and I wrote a book called Tom Hillingthwaite, The Unfortunate Adventures of Tom Hillingthwaite, which was a comedy novel. I got to the stage where I wanted to try a novel out, because it's a very different style of writing. And so those have all been fun projects to do.
And they'd be found on Amazon? UK?
Amazon and Eden.co.uk, which is the Christian, the more ethical Christian website, Eden.co.uk. Yes.
Fabulous. And you're in the middle of a kind of a comedy tour, Hidden in Plain Sight.
Yeah, right.
So how's that going?
It's going very well, yeah. I wanted to do something again. I think you can only make the best decisions with the data you have available at any one time, and having done comedy in churches for over a decade, and having started to preach, I think I wanted to do something which was a combination of the two, because it's very important not to hijack people. People should get what they've come for, really, in terms of content. And so people come into a comedy night, it's not appropriate to preach at them.
Sure.
So I wanted to write a show where I would be able to preach at people whilst also being funny. And I wanted to be able to preach on a Saturday evening as well as just a Sunday morning, because most people won't come to church on a Sunday, but lots of people will come to an entertainment night on a Saturday. So Hidden in Plain Sight is a comedy show which also has a message through it, which tries to convey the Christian message in a persuasive way. And it's the culmination of it, the conclusion of it, follows logically from the comedy. So I've worked quite hard at it, and it has been hard to do, and I'm not sure that everybody would say it's been successful in the way that I wanted it to be. It's very funny, and the message is a strong one at the end, but I'm not sure that everybody has thought that it's what they came for. I think probably some people would have found the message too strong. Equally, I've seen people become Christians through it, and you just have to put your mark on something. You have to decide what you want to do. And I find this is what I find frustrating about people who review comedy shows, or anything really. People review it based on their anticipation of what it should be. But when you're reviewing anything, your primary focus should be, what does it try to be? What does this piece of art, or what does this book try to be? What does it claim to be? And does it succeed in that? So, it's a gospel comedy show, and it's not flawless, but it's the first time it's been done, really, in the UK in that way. And again, I will discern for the next show not to make the mistakes that I've made with this one.
Well, you're wonderfully honest, Andy. That's much appreciated. It sounds to me like it's going to be much, much better than you describe. But anyway,
it's a good show. I am trying to be honest.
That's lovely. That's commendable. That's commendable to do that. I did notice it was coming up in Bolton, but I'm sure it's other places as well.
Yeah, it is. So it's I suppose the bulk of the tour has been done, and I'm trying to write a new show for next year, which will be a bit more gentle. But there are dates coming up, and my website should be online any day now. It's andykind.co.uk, so I'll try and keep that up to date. But it's still taking bookings, and people can inquire about booking it for a church near them. That's absolutely fine. I'd love them to do that.
Brilliant. Well, it's been fascinating to chat with you, and thank you so much for the breadth of insights you've given, which I'm going to look forward to listening back and making some notes. Obviously can't so easily when I'm interviewing you, but that's thrilling. So thank you so much, and delighted things are going so well.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
So you've been listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Andy Kind. As I said, Andy's a stand-up comic, but also a preacher, and you can go to his website and discover more, particularly about the tour Hidden in Plain Sight. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for joining us, and check out the podcast online on Premier Radio, iTunes or Podbean, and may God help you as you seek to lead in his name. So as we close, the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that at all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.